Well, we missed him last week, but he's back. Looking lovely with his nice haircut. Welcome, oh, Dennis Stewart.
Dear, dear, dear. Thank you for saying that, Amanda. It's made my day.
Oh, lovely.
I'm still up there. I'm still
you
there.
You are. You are. Now, Dennis, today you want to talk about herbs and the benefits they have in helping to treat women's problems, and in particular, the common problem of infertility. Now, you spoke about this previously, but recently you've been encouraged to speak about it again. Why is this?
Look, things come together. Carl Jung, the great psychologist, made the statement that things synchronize. And he developed the concept of synchronicity, that things don't happen just because they happen. And something happened to me the other day. The first part was I was in getting my farm trailer registered again. And the lady that looked after me very well there recognised me. Said, oh, Dennis, look, yes, look, I need to bring Joe or Jimmy or whatever his name is up to see you. He'll be going to school next year. She said, you know who I am, don't you? And I said, oh, of course I know who you are.
You had no idea?
And she was a lady that I was able to help up in the Hunter have her first child, where she was having some great difficulty. And that was good, but then you wouldn't believe it. I was walking past Coles and coming out, I don't know what I was doing, getting some food or something, and I bumped into a lady there who had a teenage daughter beside her. And she said, oh, Dennis, she said, I want you to meet Jewel or whatever her name was. She said, she's such and such an age now, and she came to see you, and here's the result. She said, can we get a photograph?
Aww.
I said, of course you can. Now, I thought to myself, there has to be a meaning in this.
Yeah.
And I always think about what topics I'm going to talk about on this program. And I thought, okay, this is a good topic, synchronicity. I've been meaning or having to talk about this fascinating topic that has helped so many people in my career, women, that is, have a child who hitherto were having great difficulty. We'll talk about that. It's a fascinating topic.
It is. Well, I'm sure a lot of ears are pricking up right now. Mm. And we've got Joy from Tweed Heads on the line. Hi, Joy. How can we help you today?
Hello, Amanda. I'm just ringing up to speak to Dennis if he could help me with my daughter. She's in her mid-40s and she's starting to go through the change of life with the hormones and everything.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was just wondering if there's a vitamin or something, Dennis, that she may be able to take that's not too expensive.
Yes, look, you've probably heard me talk about this before, Joy, but my first recommendation for women that are moving through this stage of their life is that with the onset of symptoms, start to do that which is very popular in many European countries, and that is to simple as it sounds, get hold of some sage tea. Now, sage is a herb, as you would know. It's
yes.
a fragrant herb, and it accompanies many meals, etc. But like many herbs, they have many uses. And sage has a reputation of easing some of the transit, particularly where the symptoms of flushing, irritability, night sweats in particular, when they are dominant mm-hmm. symptoms, sage, simple as it sounds, can sometimes provide sufficient relief to make the journey more, I was going to say enjoyable, but I would say more tolerable. But look, I know it sounds quite quaint, but I can assure you my reading on the herb allows me to say that it has a chemistry that is what we refer to as phytoestrogenic. Now, I know that sounds very technical, but what it means yep. is that it contains constituents which, in a way, mimic the effect of estrogen in the body and, as a
right.
result, can help when estrogen starts to wane. That sounds to be a pretty good explanation. I hope it's right. But also,
I think so too, then, Dennis. Thank you very much
that. I think that's worthwhile. And the only other thing yes. that I would say is that very frequently, during the change, as it used to be called, mood swings could be characteristic of it, a bit of depression, a bit of irritability. And there,
yes.
A good companion, again, which is very economical, is the Herbs and John's Wort. St. John's Wort.
John's Wort. Okay, yeah.
Now, that's a herb that has a good reputation. It's economical. Yep. It's available both from your good pharmacist and your health food store. I would suggest, Joy, that that is a useful thing to recommend to your daughter. It's economical and with a good reputation.
Okay. And what was that again, Dennis? St. John's?
St. John's Wort.
St. John's Wort.
St. John's Wort. Yes. Okay, then. Thank you very much for that, Dennis. Listen to your show all the time.
Thank you, Joy. And by the way,
okay. Have a lovely day.
I like the name Joy. It's a very happy name.
Oh, it is. Thank you.
Thanks, okay. Joy.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Dennis.
You, darling.
Bye, Amanda.
And next we have Daryl from Nelson Bay. Hi, Daryl. Thanks for holding. What can we do for you today?
Hi. I've just been diagnosed with diabetes 2.
Yes.
And I was reading that one of the possible causes is a parasite in the pancreas that could be quite easily dealt with. I was just wondering if Dennis had any information on that sort of situation.
Daryl, I haven't. I think that's a theory that I would have difficulty accepting. Diabetes has a history that's understood very well medically. I think if a parasite theory was logical or credible, I think that it would have been brought more into the management of diabetes than what it has been. I would have great reservations about giving too much credibility to that, Daryl, but look, who am I? I'm just a simple herbalist. But I know a bit about diabetes.
Yeah. They just made it, you know, like the article indicated there were some simple herbs to get rid of it. But
well, be cautious on that.
That's fine. I mean, I'm dealing with it, by what my doctor's saying and my diet.
It's type 2, is it? You're type 2.
Sorry?
You're type 2.
And I'm very low. I'm right on the border still.
So you're on metformin?
Yeah, a little bit of metformin, a bit of Forzyga.
Yeah, look, they're good medications. I'd be very happy with that. And if your doctor's also steering you through some useful lifestyle changes, eating habits, moving away from carbs and a little bit more protein, a little bit more exercise. I know a fair bit about diabetes. I could talk about it myself. but you're on the right track. Don't be sidetracked by thinking that herbs are the answer to everything. They're certainly not the answer.
Just had the opportunity to ring, and I thank you very much for your information.
It's always good, Daryl,
to ask the question.
Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you, bye.
And we've got Trevor from Cessnock on the line. Hi, Trevor, you want to talk about tremors today?
Yes, I've got dystonic tremors. I've been taking the tablets for quite a few years now, and it doesn't seem to be doing much good. I'm thinking I might be able to help with herbal.
Trevor, the tremors that you're experiencing, they've been diagnosed as being benign tremors? In other words, they're not related to any other serious condition. Certainly not Parkinson's or anything like that?
No, not at all.
That's good. And you've been on medicine for how long?
I've been on Nidorel for about 15 years.
And has it done anything?
It does help a little bit. I did see a specialist about it.
Good.
And he gave me, tried some quite high dosage, and it didn't feel well for me. And so I went back down and set 40 records, only 40 in the afternoon or 9.
I'm battling to hear you, but never mind. I'll make a couple of recommendations. I'm not going to guarantee any major benefit, but they might be worth a while. There are a few herbs that have what we call antispasmodic characteristics, and I'll name a couple of them. I wouldn't suggest that you take them all at once, and if you were to take them, any benefit that you got would be very slow, if at all. But one of the herbs that is used as an antispasmodic interestingly, is a herb called passion flower. Now, passion flower is known as a nervine in Western herbal terminology. The other herb that is used is a herb called skullcap, American herb. Both of those are used mainly for anxiety states, where trembling and et cetera is associated to an anxiety condition. I throw those in, not because I'm guaranteeing anything, but they're inexpensive. They help tension or anxiety within the nervous system, and they might just have an edge in helping you cope with what you're battling through. But outside of that, Trevor, I haven't got anything that could compete with what your good doctor is prescribing, but those two herbs may be of benefit.
Oh, that sounds good. So that's passion...
passion flower?
Yes.
And skull cap.
Skull cap. Okay, that sounds good. I'll give that a go.
Okay, Trevor.
Great. Thank you for your call, Trevor. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bye. If you've got a question for Dennis, 49216216 is the number to call. And just a side note, if you do give us a call, if you could just take yourself off speakerphone, it just makes it easier for us to hear you. And we'll get to talk about infertility very shortly, Dennis.
We will.
So we're talking about infertility today, and you've always emphasised that herbal medicine is a complementary system of medicine in most cases. Is this where herbal medicine fits into the treatment of infertility?
Oh, look, that's a very good question, Amanda, because listeners know that I do not in any way at all see herbal medicine as being a competitive system with the mainstream. I see it as being complementary, and that is helping mainstream medicine achieve objectives which they're not achieving, and providing an option for those people for whom the mainstream is not giving the result. Now, sometimes this spills over into the treatment of what we call infertility. But infertility, let me emphasise to listeners, any condition of infertility needs to be investigated, obviously, by your GP and probably also by an obstetrician or a gynaecologist, because infertility can be associated with factors such as, for instance, is the partner okay? Has the partner, the male, been assessed for sperm credibility? Very frequently, female infertility doesn't give enough investigation, in my opinion, to the male. But having said that, women who are having trouble, let me emphasise, need to be investigated, and then, if appropriate, succumb, if you like, or undergo the very good IVF procedures that have been developed over time. And we have a very good range of very competent obstetricians, gynaecologists, fertility specialists here in Newcastle. But I have found that over my too many years of practice, it's a very common thing to have women presenting who have exhausted the possibility of IVF and other techniques being able to help them, that they have had a number of treatments from the mainstream and none of them have helped. Early in the investigation, some of them have been told that it would be impossible for them to conceive. In these situations, I have found that very frequently a selection, and I mean a selection because I don't want listeners to think that there is a particular herb or a particular formula that will do something that the mainstream or other therapies are not able to do. What I have found is that looking at each patient as an individual, that one can arrange a selection of medicinal herbs with a sound reputation both in European and in English-speaking herbalism. And over my many years, I've been able to log a whole history and diary of people that have done well on the application of herbal medicine to achieve their dream, that is, of having a child, when other things have not been able to get there. I guess what I'm saying is, for people that aren't aware that herbal medicine, professional Western herbal medicine based on the range of well-known herbs that Western herbalists use, I want them to know that there are possible options available from credible practitioners. Let me keep in mind also, or listeners keep in mind, that these days quite a few general practitioners that I know, many of whom I've taught and have attended my postgraduate seminars, many of them would use or recommend at least the sorts of herbs that I use. So there's a growing awareness on the part of some medical practitioners, mainly due to their observing that some of their patients have achieved having a child when their treatment and recommendations were not successful. Now, does herbal medicine work in every case? Of course not. What we're saying here, it's a complementary therapy. It can be used to back up, to support, or to provide an option for the mainstream. And I think that needs to be known and utilised by people that perhaps have not heard of the concept of sensible Western-based herbal medicine being used to achieve fertility. What I would suggest here and what I would warn here is for listeners to be cautious as to what herbs they're using, to what group want to sell them herbs. Without adequate investigation and without an adequate understanding of the patient's condition, just the buying of herbs or being treated by an unqualified person is not going to achieve very much. Complementary medicine is practiced by competent practitioners who are not opposed or in competition with the mainstream, but rather provide an option for those for whom the mainstream has not been able to deliver what the patient or the client would be looking for.
Good advice. Thanks, Dennis. We'll continue with that discussion later. We've got Lynette from Rathmines on the line. Hi, Lynette. Thanks for holding. How can we help you today?
Hi, how are you going?
Good, thank you. What's the problem?
I'm just wondering if there's anything herbal that we can use to either prevent or treat plantar warts.
This is for you, is it, Lynette?
Well, it's for my mother, actually.
Mm-hmm. Now
she's in her 80s, yes, and she's got plantar wart under her foot.
And the doctor or a podiatrist has treated it or not treated it?
Not treated it, no.
Okay. Look, there are a couple of ways. The first thing, how many plantar warts does she have on her feet?
It's just one, and it's right near the base of the toe.
Okay. And the doctor has not suggested any topical application?
He's spoken to her about using some salicylic acid.
Salicylic acid, did you say?
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's what's called a keratolytic agent, and sometimes it's useful. But plantar warts are a difficult wart to treat. What might be worthwhile is to get Mum to talk to a podiatrist to see what can be offered at least to provide some comfort for the condition. Mm. But the other thing is, in herbal medicine, there is a preparation called Thuja, Thuja, Thuja.
Yeah.
That's the name of a herb which has a reputation as a topical agent for treating warts per se. That is, multiple forms of warts have been attempted to be cured with the use of the herb Thuja. It comes in an ointment form from a good health food store. Even a pharmacy or a herbalist or naturopath should stock it. It's worthwhile trying. It's not something that burns, but if you were to Google Thuja and warts, you should find a recommendation made there or confirmation that it has a useful role to play in progressively eroding the wart. I tried that. It's not anything that I'm aware of would create any burning, and it might just give a little bit of progressive a resolution to the problem. Thuya, topically applied, requires perseverance, but it's a pretty harmless substance.
Lovely. Wonderful. Sounds like a great idea. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Lynette.
Thanks, Lynette. Bye. Next, we've got Stephen from Curry. Hi, Stephen. You want to talk about high blood pressure?
Yes, I do, if I can.
Hello, Stephen.
Yeah, how you going, mate? Look, I'm well. I've just been to my GP, my good doctor. And,
good.
I have dangerously high blood pressure.
Yes.
My reading this morning was 193 over 103.
That is very high.
Yeah, well, it was over 200 last Friday.
Okay.
But she's put me on medication, which is a good thing.
Yes, of course. Of course it's a good thing.
Tell Miss Darton or something.
Darton, yes.
Yep, that's the one. It's 40 milligrams.
Yes.
It says on there, do not take potassium.
Yes.
While I'm on that medication. So what? And that's really just about everything I used to like eating. So I'm wanting to know if there is a herb or a food that I could eat that will help lower my high blood pressure.
Stephen, with a high blood pressure such as that, I'm not aware of any food or herb that would safely get your blood pressure down to about 120.
Yeah, they're quite concerned about it, actually.
Beg your pardon?
I say they're quite concerned about it.
I think you need to be concerned about it. With reference to the potassium, I think what the emphasis there is that if you're taking any potassium medication or if your diet is high in bananas or anything like that, just cut it out. You can't. Potassium's in many foods. And
that's right.
That doesn't mean to say that you have to agonise over every food you're wanting to eat to make sure that it contains no potassium. I think, and I'm sure your good doctor would agree with me, what was being mentioned here was that you wouldn't want to take anything with potassium in it, and some medications that are prescribed by our doctors for certain conditions, in fact, require potassium. But here what they're saying is, no, don't take it. It counteracts or works against the benefit of that.
Mm. It's the only medication I'm on. I'm 60, and it's pretty much the only time I've had any form of health issue.
Yeah, I'm sure your doctor would have tested you, but blood pressure can have a number of causes. Sometimes the kidney can be implicated. I'm sure your doctor would have done appropriate blood tests or is in the process of doing that to ensure.
No, we've just completed all that last week.
Good.
ECGs. She's been a really good doctor, to be honest.
Absolutely. Look, you know my viewpoint. I have great encouragement for people to trust their doctors. They're at the front line of our healthcare. All of them work too hard, and in my opinion, they're underpaid. I've put my neck on the chopping block here. But look, there are various medications which your good doctor can work through. She would have heard of beta blockers and calcium channel blockers. There are a whole range of them. And if it is starting to come down, that's a good sign. I'd just work with her. You'll be seeing her regularly.
She's put me on a... I think it's called a chronic health plan or plan plus.
Good.
I'm back there on Friday, so we're obviously going to do... This is only new, so we're going to talk more on Friday when I go back.
She's a good doctor. She's a good doctor.
She has been good. I've only been seeing her for 2 weeks, but she's been really helpful. I was just wondering, I mean, let's face it, everything we take comes from the planet, so...
Yep.
Just wondering if there was any foods or herbs that could help me as well.
She's got you on medication. The first thing to do is to get that stable, and then talk to her or to a dietitian about looking at a diet may have some benefit in encouraging that process.
Good luck with that, Stephen. It sounds like it's... there's a bit of a process there, but hopefully you'll get there.
That's a high blood pressure.
Yeah. Got Helen from Port Stephens on the line. Thanks for holding, Helen. How can we help you today?
I'm 72 years old, and I'm losing my hair quite a lot. And I was just wondering if he's heard anything about pumpkin seed oil. It's on, it's doing a lot on the net at the moment about using it. Swallow the capsules, helps your grey hair grow.
Okay. I actually like pumpkin. Yeah. I like pumpkin. And pumpkin seed, interestingly, is used, even in this country, by some practitioners for the treatment of various stages of prostate problems. So it does have a therapeutic activity, and it may be that the benefit that it has in perhaps slowing prostate enlargement says something about a hormone characteristic that might also assert itself when it's converted into an oil and topically applied. I can't vouch for that. But look,
have I got a prostate?
No. You'd be a rarity, my dear. I just threw that in to give some credibility to the good old pumpkin seed. In fact, I have patients that carry. I shouldn't laugh, but I have patients.
Sorry, mate, but yeah.
It's cute, isn't it? But I have patients that carry around pumpkin seed in their pocket like peanuts. And so they must have some belief in it. But look. There is a herb with a greater reputation, I would argue, and coming from a tradition that is much longer and greater than even Western tradition. Listeners would have heard me talk on this program about Ayurvedic medicine, which is the oldest system of medicine in the world, is still practiced and registered and taught in India, and has a whole range of herbs, which I have in fact lectured on in a one-semester program on Ayurvedic medicine. The herb there that is used in India and promoted both orally and topically as an oil is a herb called Eclipta, E-C-L-I-P-T-A, Eclipta alba, A-L-B-A, Eclipta alba. Now, you might say, well, what use is that to me? Well, you will find in some of the increasing number of Indian food stores that are all over the place now, and I welcome that. We've got some good ones on the Central Coast. They will stock also that herb in various forms, one form of which is an oil. So what I'm going to suggest is that the reputation of Eclipta alba as a herb to assist, put it this way, the hair and the scalp generally, is worthwhile and readily available in a commercial form that makes sense, with good branding and good labelling. It's very, very safe. I'm not promising that suddenly tomorrow you'll find yourself with the hair of a teenager, but it, in my opinion, it has just as much regard. I have just as much regard for that as pumpkin seed. So Eclipta alba is, as a matter of interest, I'll finalise on this point, it is held in such esteem in South Asia that it is known by its Sanskrit name. The Sanskrit name is Bringaraj, which means ruler of the hair. So think of the herb Eclipta alba. Seek out an Indian food store that would surely stock the herb Eclipta alba or Bringaraj.
Good luck, Helen.
Thanks, mate. I'll look out for me personally.
bye. Next, we've got John from Katara. Thanks for holding, John. You want to talk about mixed herbs?
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, John.
I have here a container in front of me of mixed Italian herbs.
Yes.
It might be a sprinkler, which contains marjoram, basil, capsicum, rosemary, oregano, thyme, and parsley.
Beautiful.
And I just wondered, I sprinkle it on my food, you know, on my cereal and on my sandwiches and that.
Yes.
Is that a good idea or could it be beneficial or not?
In my opinion, that is a very good idea. That is the way in which herbs are used around the world, particularly in many European countries. They all have the effect of not only giving flavour to the food, but bring their spices into it to encourage digestion to lessen wind and flatulence, to overcome heartburn. A regular use of that sort of mixed herbal spectrum is, in my opinion, a significant contribution to digestive health and indirectly a significant contribution to your health, John. You keep doing it. In my opinion, you'll live a bit longer.
Okay, Dennis, thank you very much for your information.
Thanks, John.
Bye. Now, Dennis, we've got about 2.5 minutes left, so we're just going to be quick. In a nutshell, could you just name some of the most important herbs that are used to treat infertility?
Without doubt. The two most important herbs are two American herbs, which unfortunately are becoming difficult to get, and they're known as true and false unicorn root. Now, I know that sounds crazy. The herbal names are a bit crazy, but true unicorn root, false unicorn root, represents the two major herbs. A third one is the herb that we've spoken about frequently on this program, the European herb Vitex agnus castus, or commonly known as chaste tree. They're the two, or they're the three, that I depend upon so significantly, and particularly for those that struggle with endometriosis. Vitex agnus castus is a significant contributor to addressing that problem, even where the patients have tried the appropriate medication and it hasn't helped. Don't forget the benefit of Vitex agnus castus, which in treating infertility associated with endometriosis is frequently the clue to explaining how it's important in an infertility formulation. A medical herbalist trained sensibly in the best of tradition and the best of modern herbal medicine would know how to put together those three herbs, accompanied by a couple more, but they're the major three, to address most cases of functional infertility or the occasional case where there's a level of endometriosis that is affecting the possibility of fertility.
So are they in capsules?
Look, unfortunately, the scarcity of them now basically means that they have to be prescribed, and probably rightly so, in a liquid form and in a specific dose. And I welcome that, because too frequently significant medicinal herbs are converted almost into confectionery when they're administered in a tablet or a capsule. Not always, but these particular herbs are important medicinals and must be dispensed as an extract in a stipulated formula, a stipulated proportion of each herb with a stipulated dosage.
Okay, just from the local herbalist or from your doctor?
The problem here is most herbalists wouldn't stock that selection of herbs, but in my opinion, without them, you would have difficulty in getting the benefits that I've been talking about.
All right. Well, we might pick up this topic again next week.
It's interesting,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Okay. I'm sure a lot of people want to hear all about it.
And pumpkin seed.
And pumpkin seed and maybe your prostate.
Who knows?